in a time period that we've done. Listen, we love you.
Well, thank you. God bless you. Please be seated. Very kind. Thank you. And every bit true. So thank you. All right. Very good. God bless you. Everybody happy? All right. That's a great night. And we're going to be eating soon. Woohoo! Yeah. As though we haven't eaten enough already. So Hebrews 6:19. That's where we've been. You're going to put it up on the board for us? Hebrews 6:19. All right. So what does it say here? Oh, yeah. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, etc. We have this hope. Tonight I want to talk about the prosperous hope, about God's promises, about God's blessings. In the book of 3 John, verse 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you would prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You know, I was called to the ministry shortly after I was saved. I was saved when I was 12. And at an evangelical Methodist church, a Bible-believing church. It was just right down at the corner of where I lived. The occasion of being a part of that church began simply because John Kennedy had been assassinated. My mom decided that she was going to go to church. She didn't know one church from another. But it was fortunate that it was a Bible-believing church about a half a block away from where we lived. Now, we had been going to Sunday school there for some time as kids because my parents really liked to have, you know, private time together on Sunday morning. And, you know, it was cheaper than babysitting. So they would send my sister and my brother and I to Sunday school. So we'd have some exposure to, you know, Bible and things of that nature. But no really personal decision, no real commitment to Christ until I was about 12. And I remember the day that I gave my heart to the Lord. How many of you remember the day, the circumstance when you finally bowed your knee? I mean, it's just an incredible thing. I mean, I remember that my pastor was preaching probably about cigarettes. Because, I mean, that was one of his favorite topics. You know, if you smoke, you're going to go to hell. And so that was one of the things he loved to preach. He was a clothesline preacher. I mean, what you wore, what you did, that was really important. So anyway, I think he was probably preaching on that. But somehow in the middle of that message, God got a hold of me. And I remember coming to what we called the altar. It was a padded place to kneel down at the front of the church. And I don't think we knelt like that, but it was similar. But we, you know, knelt down and the pastor knelt down next to me and asked me, well, what are you here for? And I looked at him and I said, what do you mean, what am I here for? You're the one that did the call. Don't you know what I'm here for? I'm here to give my heart to Jesus. And he, good. So he led me in a sinner's, quote unquote, sinner's prayer, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and, you know, tears came and snot. I think it's necessary. You know, I think it's necessary to have those two things if you're really saved. I mean, you know, but anyway. And I just kind of sensed that, you know, I had a friend. I mean, that's really what I was looking for more than anything else. I didn't really understand what it meant to have a Savior. I didn't really understand that much about sin. I mean, I felt convicted. I felt guilty. I felt ashamed about myself, but I couldn't really directly connect it to anything. I don't know what it was, but the Holy Spirit, I know now, was drawing me into relationship, and what I wanted, my prayer was, God, I just wish I had a friend. I mean, I had parents, but I never really sensed that I had anyone that really loved me as I was, and that was the greatest draw for me, was the belief that Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, the anchor to our soul begins by the simple acknowledgement that Jesus loves us, and this we know. We know it. Beyond shadow of doubt, I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm wanted. I know that I belong. Because he said so. Not because I deserve anything in that sense, but because he said he wants me. Because he said I belong in his family. For me, it was the most enlightening, incredible experience to know that God actually loved me. That was in February. About 5 months later, we had our youth camp. Our youth camp and with our church was up in the mountains of San Diego. They'd brought in a missionary to speak. To be careful of missionaries. They always want one thing: dedicate your life to Jesus and go to the mission field. Yeah. This guy was telling stories about missions and all that kind of stuff, and he was challenging us to consider the possibility of a life of service to the Lord. Now, he wasn't calling to become a pastor or become an evangelist or any of that. I was really leery of those things because my pastor, very lovely man, I mean, loved the Lord, more of an evangelist and an exhorter than he really was a pastor. He didn't really like people that much. But, but he is very formal. I mean, even when he mowed the lawn, he'd have to have a tie on. You know, he was, you know, kind of real old school. And so as I thought about pastors, I mean, he lived in a parsonage. I think, you know, parsonage in a pear tree. This last thing I want to live in is a parsonage. I wouldn't want to be a pastor. Being a pastor, most pastors I knew, I mean, they were poor. Their kids were a mess. It was a disaster to be a pastor. The only other gift thing that we knew about was evangelist. And most evangelists, I mean, they blow in, blow up, blow out, and hopefully blow over. I mean, and most of them were poorest. I didn't want to be poor. I was raised in a poor house. My dad went from the time I was 8 until I was 16, was more out of work than he was in work. The last thing I wanted was to be poor. I mean, is that what my call would be all about? Do I have to be poor and destitute and begging people? God help me. I don't want that. Now, these are kind of private conversations I'm having with God. You ever have private conversation with God? Just asking. Where you actually ask him questions about things, like things, stuff, things that bother you? I hope you do. He listens, I think. But at this church camp, I mean, this guy, I mean, he's just, he was really, he was a politician from the state of Oregon that was a part-time missionary. It means he went on one or two missions trips. I mean, the reality, I found out later, he wasn't much of a missionary at all. But anyway, he was preaching and calling us to a commitment. And actually saying to us that we could hear from God ourselves. Now, that's something that was kind of new, especially in the denomination I was a part of, because they believed the only way you heard from God was from the Bible. So it was a little bit controversial that way. And so, you know, they do the normal altar call, just as I am without one plea. You know, doing the altar call thing at the camp. And, you know, we're sitting there and resisting like we're supposed to. And in the middle of all that, I just asked a question. And the question was, Lord, do you want me? Do you want me? And it was like, yeah. Yes, son, I want you. Okay. Wasn't really that dramatic. He just spoke in my spirit. It wasn't audible voice, no light as far as I know. You know, it was just, yes, I want you. Well, I just knew God wanted me. I'm called to the ministry to serve. I don't know what that meant. I had no idea. I knew what I didn't want. And I asked one other question at the moment, which was, Lord, does that mean you've called me to be a pastor? Yeah, it's the only gift I can think of at the moment. Remember, I'm only 12. What do I know? But what I heard was, I've not called you to a typical pulpit ministry. Now, that was pretty specific. I wasn't really sure what a pulpit was at the time. But I knew I was going to be on a journey. I knew that my life was going to be different. I had a call on my life. That's a strange thing. We use that term, you have a call. I mean, all of us have been called, right? We've been called out of darkness into light. We've been called into the church. We've been called into a relationship with God to be filled with His Holy Spirit. All of us have gifts. All of us have abilities that belong to God because they're gifts from God to us. Of course, this was a different kind of call. It was a call to full service. That no matter what I did for a living, didn't make any difference. I was called to serve Jesus. I was called to follow Jesus. So you know, we're all called to follow Jesus, aren't we? According to the gifts and abilities that God gives us. Now, I had no idea where the journey was going to take me. I didn't know what I needed to do to prepare for it. I knew a couple things about me and my life. Number one, I could hit a curveball. If you play baseball and you can hit a curveball, you can go a long way in that game. Okay? I love baseball. Baseball, my life. I hit the baseball, catch the baseball, throw the baseball. Baseball, my life. Love baseball. And I also knew I liked people. I actually liked people. I seemed to be naturally good at listening to people, even folks that were a lot older than me, and somehow God giving me advice to be able to speak into their life. And it turned out to be good. So I thought, well, maybe I can nurture these two things. And as I began my journey in life, I began to focus on simply those things. Hit the curveball. I knew that if I was going to be involved in ministry, I probably needed to get an education. So I thought I'd probably end up having to go to college somewhere. But I also had this nagging thing in my heart that said, I don't want to be poor. I didn't really care if I was rich. I just didn't want to put my kids through the suffering that my sister and my brother and I went through because of the economic situation with my folks. So I figured I probably needed to get a job. And so that's kind of what motivated me in my journey. Now, what does this have to do with an anchor? The anchor of my soul, the anchor of my soul was Jesus loves me, this I know, and the call that I knew He had upon my life, that I'm not normal. You may have figured that out. You don't have to say amen to that. I know it's true. And you're not normal either. That we really are a supernatural people. We're peculiar, but we're holy. We're separated to God. We have purpose. God gives us vision. He speaks to us. He gives us dreams. He gives us all kinds of opportunity to become a part of this incredible, expanding kingdom of God. And we all have a place and we all have a part. Hallelujah. So as I went through my journey in life, I learned to simply try and trust God, that somehow He was going to work things out. I didn't know sometimes what direction I should take, but I knew that God was good. I knew that God loved me. I knew that I was called according to His purpose. So I knew that somehow God and I were going to work this thing out. But I got on with my life. I remember, I wasn't initially, charismatic Pentecostal. I came into that when I was 17 and then got kicked out of the Evangelical Methodist Church. I came back after being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I decided to demonstrate for the young people's group. My pastor didn't think it was funny. I don't know. Not a lot of wisdom there. I eventually told the pastor, I don't want to be in your church. Later, I came back and apologized to him for being so stupid and arrogant. But anyway. But You know, in charismatic churches, there's a lot of folks, I mean, lots of prophecy and word of knowledge and stuff. And I remember just longing for a word from God. How many of you love a word from God? Yeah. I mean, it's great. And I would long for a word from the Lord, some prophetic word that would launch me or to give me maybe greater insight into what God would have. And so, you know, I became a part of some churches that there was a lot of prophetic ministry, and guys would come in, and ladies would come in with great prophetic gifts, and they'd prophesy over everybody. I mean, so accurate. And we're crying about how great it is, how God's moving. And the prophets, they come right up to me, and they turn around and walk away. I mean, every stinking time. It's like I would try and position myself just in the right place where they had to see me. They had to have a word for me. Nothing. Time after time after time. I finally got to the place. I mean, I'd gone on to university. I'd had a counseling practice, worship leading. I was helping in church. They called me an adjunct pastor, which means you pay your tithes for the privilege of ministry. Anyway, and so, I mean, I was always active in church and stuff, but here I was. I mean, God, you called me. You said I'm going to not have a typical pulpit ministry. In fact, part of what he clarified later, I would preach and teach the word. Not only preach and teach the word, but God would open up the nations. I used to pray all the time, God, give me a nation. I'd love to be a missionary. And God would say to me over and over, nope, nations, son, nations. Great. So here I am, 30, 31, 35 years old, still never one prophetic word. I'm going, what, are you mad at me? I think now he was protecting me. There's a lot of strange stuff sometimes that goes around. That's why we need pastors and leaders in our lives to help, you know, coach us and counsel us once we've gotten a word, to make sure it's a real prophetic word and not a pathetic word. Yeah. I remember one guy came through finally in this, and he was prophesying, came near the end of the night, and my internal thought was, I'm not going to get nothing. I know I'm not going to get a word. God doesn't seem to care. Doesn't matter. I guess it doesn't matter. I'll just continue to do what I'm doing. Doesn't matter. Lord, whatever it is, I'm just going to keep doing what you want me to do. And the guy came right up to me, stopped, turned around, and I knew. And then he spun back around, and he pointed an ugly, crooked finger at me. You know, that prophetic finger, you know. The fickled finger of fate. Okay? He pointed that thing, and he absolutely read my mail. I mean, just my struggles, issues in my life, the call of God, the nations of the world. And when he was all finished, and God has called you to teach. And I'm going, internally, I said, yeah, I didn't think I was ever going to get to preach. And he started to walk away, and he spun back around, and you're going to preach in the nations of the world. Don't you ever think for a moment God doesn't know where you are. Now, let me just put a little add to this. The same guy came back about 6 months later. A lot of circumstances had changed, and he prophesied over me that I was going to die if I didn't quit doing what I was doing and join his ministry. And I had people come up to me and said, what do you think of that? I said, I think that was stupid. Why can you say that? He's a great guy. He missed it. I was trying to be gracious. I said, listen, God ain't going to kill me. He's not in the kill me business. He's in the bless me business. He's in the prosper me business. God's got a plan for my life. Didn't you hear the other prophecy? That's the one I'm hanging on to. And within 3 months after I received the prophetic word, the first nation began to open up. Well, I am no unique person that way. We just have to be willing to dream dreams and allow God to speak to us. If we're open to that, I believe he will. Of course, none of us really know when our journey will end, what direction our journey will go. But again, our focus as believers is not on the end. It's on the journey. God is with us in the journey. John, the apostle, he's bringing this little letter. in 3 John, verse 2. It seems to be, in many ways, an insignificant letter, but he brings to us a true apostolic prayer, foundational, life-producing, powerful prayer. And I don't believe it was just for the church there, but I believe it's for us as well. I would, beloved, I pray, beloved, I pray that in all things you will prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I want to just touch on that briefly. In all things, in what areas does God want to prosper and bless you? Everything. Physically, does he want you to be in health and prosper? Absolutely. Does God want you to prosper in your business? Absolutely. Does he want you to prosper in school? Absolutely. He wants you to prosper in your relationships? Absolutely. God's intention for all of us, his plan for all of us, is that we be prosperous. Now, let me define for you what the meaning of the word prosperous is. Because a lot of folks will say, oh, that means he wants us to have lots of coin in our pocket. You know what? I don't think God wants to give you any money unless you've got a generous heart. Did you hear that? He don't want you to be full of money if you're not full of him. To be prosperous means to have everything you need for your journey. And I've said many times, if you're not going anywhere, you don't need much. But if you're going somewhere, if you've got a call upon your life, if you have a mission that God's given you, if you have a vision from the Lord, if you've got a dream that he's dropped into your heart, he has every intention of making sure that you fulfill that dream. And he'll make sure you have whatever provision you need. Now, most of the time we think of the provision as money, but it's not just that. In fact, most of the time it's not money at all. I had a pastor named Dr. Joe Bohack. Quirky fella. Lovely man. Just at a time when I wasn't sure about my life, my call, he came into my life. As far as I can remember, Joe never gave me a dime. He was kind of cheap that way anyway. He first, eventually came to work for me years later, but he became my pastor. And during a time of great difficulty in my life, he came alongside of me and spoke into my life and gave me a sense of greater hope. He helped to re-anchor my call in a way that I really needed. He was part of my prosperity. When my lovely wife Karen went home to be with the Lord, I needed a word from God before that happened. God spoke to me very clearly, "My son, my grace is sufficient for you." I knew exactly what that meant. I wasn't happy. I knew I'm going to have to walk through the most difficult time of my life. But, you know, I had several friends, pastors, that came alongside of me during that time. I had several of them come up and say, "Brother, I got a $100 bill here. You need this. You're going to need some money to help with your kids to get through this." I had others come alongside my kids and just love on them and comfort them. God knows what we need in our journey. God knows what we need in every step of our journey. God knows what we need to prosper us in our journey. Because the journey is his journey. He's the one that ordained it. He's the one that wants to see it fulfilled. It is for his glory, but it's also for our glory, for our benefit. In everything, my prayer, my apostolic prayer for you, my heart for you, my desire for you, and I know I'm speaking from heaven itself, is that you would prosper and be in health, that you'd be blessed in every aspect of your life. Even as your soul prospers. In the English Standard Version, it says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." It's an old song. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, Have you heard it? Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well. It's well with my soul. That's the anchor that God gives us by the Holy Spirit in our lives, that no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, it's going to be well with your soul. There's a lot we could say about the wellness of the soul, if you will. The soul speaks about the mind, the will, the emotions. We've heard that. Malcolm did a brilliant job on that during the week. We know that we have the mind of Christ. We know we need to renew our mind. We need to change our thinking. We need to repent of things. There's, again, the three key words. There's metamorphosis, metanoia, teleos, those three words that talk about coming into maturity through repentance and through allowing God to transform us. We think about the will. We know the plans that God has for us. God's given us a purpose, and he wants us to purpose in the direction of God's purpose. To choose, to decide, to determine that no matter what happens, whatever goes on in life, I'm not giving up. I'm still moving ahead. I'm still moving through. Which is why when anyone precious to me dies, the first chance I have to preach, I preach the covenant of healing. I preach God's miracle-working power. I know the resurrection power of Jesus. I've seen people healed of all kinds of things. And even when healing doesn't seem to come to my door, it doesn't matter. I know it's well with my soul because I know God is with me. And I'll go through it. I've decided, I've determined, I will not be moved away from the purpose of God. And that's what God places in us. The anchor to our soul is we're filled with the very metal of God. Our emotions are pretty special, really. Peace. God's not given us a spirit of fear. God is love, the fruit of the Spirit, especially joy. I mean, so much more than happiness. Yes, there's also sorrows. Jesus was acquainted with that, acquainted with grief. So are we. We have the gamut of emotions, but our emotions don't guide us or direct us, but they do enrich us, and we should be grateful for them. So yes, his prayer is that you be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, how do I have a prosperous soul, Lord? Well, let's think about a few things, and then we're going to eat. And everyone said, hallelujah, God is good. All right, so I'm going to give you five things. You ready for this? It'll be very, very fast unless I do them slow. Number one, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks. You want a prosperous soul. You want a healthy life. Quit whinging. Knock it off. Number one, nobody really cares and no one's really listening, so why waste their time? Be grateful. Don't worry. Be happy. Why not? Why not be grateful for what God has done? Why not? Be grateful for life. Why not be grateful for your spouse? Why not be grateful for your kids? Of course, they're not exactly what you hoped for or what you believe you deserve. But there you got it. If you've got a spouse, you got a whole lot of folks that don't have one that would trade places with you in a New York second. And I know there's a lot of you that have one that would trade to be without one. But anyway. But why not be grateful? Give thanks. Number two, do what he's told you to do. Micah 6:8, I've told you, oh man, what is good, what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Just do what God wants you to do. I mean, you know, if God's told you to do something, why are you waiting around to see if someone wants to confirm it? Just do it. Just do it. It's amazing what happens if you just obey. I used to tell my kids all the time, remember what the Bible says, to obey is better than being sacrificed. So obey. Well, they learned to read it for themselves later. I was in trouble, but it worked for a while. Yeah. But, you know, God doesn't want to sacrifice us. He doesn't want to punish us. He doesn't really even want to discipline us. He wants us to simply be obedient because if we are, it's to our benefit. Some of you may have such a call upon your life, you think there's greatness ahead of you, but you can't be faithful over something little. If you're not faithful over little, you'll never be faithful over much. God simply wants us to recognize that, hey, you're God, we're not. Show us what you need us to do. Help us to be faithful in every little thing, knowing that you're going to prosper us in our journey. Number three, Psalm 48, delight in his word. Delight yourself in the word of God. I think it's so important for us to simply read the word, study his word, delight yourself in the word of God. Literally, be filled with the light and the joy of his word. God will speak to you. And as you're moving forward in your journey, which, by the way, you can't prosper in your journey if you don't move. God doesn't enlighten us when we sit under a tree waiting for something to fall upon us. And if you'll notice, in fact, in Scripture, nobody was called to service who wasn't already working. Hello? Listen to this. Nobody was called to anything significant in the kingdom of God who was sitting on their bum. You got to get moving. You got to be faithful. You got to keep the journey going. That's your part, and you need his word to guide you. Number four, know what you're supposed to seek after. And the Bible says, seek first the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Seek to find your place under the rule of God. What is your gift? What is your calling? What is the anointing, if you will, upon your life? Whatever that is, you want to seek after that and seek to fulfill your purpose in his kingdom. Remember, the kingdom of God, it's righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. Everything that Jesus was about was the establishment and the expansion of his kingdom, and that's what we're about as well. And finally, trust God in the process. Trust God in the process that he's going to work it out. Philippians 2, 12 through 16. Remember, it's God working in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Jesus is the anchor to our soul. It starts by simply acknowledging, Jesus, you love me. You really do love me. I mean, you're oriented toward me. You watch after me. You care about my thoughts. You care about my health. You care about my life. You care about me. You're in my corner. You're my greatest cheerleader. You love me, Lord, like no one else could ever love me. You've called me to the journey. You've called me to be a part of your purpose in the kingdom. And you want me to prosper. Really, you want me to prosper because my little stream in the river of God is necessary for the whole river to properly function. It's all of us little rivers together, flowing together in unity of his purpose that brings about the greater purposes of God. Every one of us are significant in the kingdom of God. So he wants us to deal with our health physically, mentally, socially, spiritually. He wants us to be healthy. And so if you're not, if you've got some issues that you need to deal with, remember the words. He's in the process of transforming us by his grace. Get into his presence. I mean, just get into his presence. I was working with one kid. I'll close with these thoughts. But I was working with one kid struggling with homosexuality. Pastor wanted me to visit with him. The kid is, I mean, struggling with identity issues, etc. But he was in love. First time in his life. And he asked me, what do you think I should do? What should I do? I was raised in the church. I know it's wrong biblically, et cetera, et cetera. But I have this wonderful attraction. It feels so great to be wanted by somebody. I said, look, I understand what it feels like to be wanted. Well, what do you think I should do? I said, look, just one thing. Show up every Sunday. Get into his presence. Just show up every Sunday. I don't care if you do anything else. Just show up. Every Sunday, get into his presence. Will you do that for 1 year? I'm asking you to commit to that 1 year. I don't care if you do anything else. You're not going to tell me I have to stop. I'm not going to. If I told you, you're going to lie, or you're going to do what you're going to do anyway. I mean, if you're asking, do I think it's healthy? Well, you already know the answer to that. But I'm asking you to do this one thing. Get into God's presence and stay there. And he did. And it was uncomfortable. But after a while, the presence of God became so powerful, so important, so precious in his life that the other thing that was precious was no longer precious to him. God just replaced it with something more important. I mean, look. God wants you to prosper in your journey. If your thinking is messed up, line it up with the Word. If your emotions are out of whack, come on. God will help you. Bring it to him. Get into accountable relationship. But remember that the anchor is Jesus himself. You are beloved. You are holy. You are chosen. You're God's special people. He loves you. And he wants you to know that. And he wants you to know that he's with you. And all of us are with each other in the journey, and he will bring us to the full prosperity that he has promised. Let's stand together. You guys don't have to stand. You're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. My best audience, by the way, you know, without question. They could probably recite everything that I just said perfectly without question. True, right? You got it all? You memorized it? Thank you so much. Don't you know where? Well, I want you to do me a favor. Just close your eyes for a moment. Okay, you can open them again. I just love having control. Man, that's so good to have control. I just love that. I'm sorry, please. Forgive me if you want to. God is good. Do you mind if I just pray for you? So I don't care if your eyes are open, your eyes are closed. Whatever connects you in your own sense to the presence of God. I mean, I know for me, I just kind of look up and I just sense his presence. Whatever you do, that if that means close your eyes, open your eyes, lift your hands, kneel, whatever it does, just kind of put yourself, if you would, for a moment, in just a place to receive from the Lord. Just a place to receive. Thanks, Lord. Lord, I thank you for that over 18 months ago, you spoke to Pastor Trevor, you spoke to his team about a theme for a week that was long away in the future, a theme for a Bible school called The Anchor for Your Soul. Lord, they had no idea, of course, when they made the decision based upon what you had shared with them, the meaning of that, or the purpose, or what the result would be, what it would mean to have a week together where we focused our attention on Jesus Christ being the anchor of our soul and learning what it means to have a renewed mind and really reaffirming again who we are in Christ, and that we're in this journey together, and that you're with us, and that you love us, and that it's good. They had no idea of the healings that were going to happen and the reconfirmation of people's faith and in your goodness. And they had no idea about that, Lord, but they faithfully have executed what needed to happen so that we would have this time with you. And for that, Lord, I know you're grateful. as are we. Thank you, Lord, for being the everlasting anchor to our thinking, our feeling, our will, our conscience. You're the center of our lives. We're in this journey together for your glory. And Lord, we want you to be blessed above all things, because it really is all for your glory that you willingly share with your children. So Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people right now. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, bless them specially. Bless them. May they sense the prosperity in their soul. May they sense, Lord, the reality that you are with them right now in the journey, that you have not forgotten them. You know right where they're at. You have every intention to provide for them everything they need to fulfill their purpose. Lord, help them to embrace the reality of that truth. May they get the revelation of it, that God is good, God is with them, he's going to help you, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And Lord, we thank you for the food. I'm getting hungry. It's time to eat. So we pray you bless that as well. In Jesus' name, amen.